Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, this has been quite a week for us. The question is, where is Jessica? Where is Jessica Gray? It's all about Jessica Gray. I tell you, we've been dealing with the Benton Township Police Department, and I want to tell you, they are sleeping on the job. When you talk about the Keystone Cops, you're talking about Benton Township Police Department. When you're talking about people not doing their job, you're talking about Benton Harbor Township Police Department. One of the things that's so important that a lot of times people don't know, it's been over 110 days. These guys have refused to go out and investigate this case. To me, it's a no-brainer. But unfortunately, you're dealing with a group of police officers who have no love, no respect for the residents of Benton Harbor, Benton Township. Now, let me make sure people understand. There's a difference between Benton Harbor, the city, and Benton Harbor, the township. There's a major difference between the two. They always talk about how bad Benton Harbor, the city of Benton Harbor Police Department is. Even though they don't know that Benton Harbor city police officers is like 90% Caucasians. And that's unfortunate, because that is the way it's supposed to be done. You know, it's crucial that people understand how important this thing is. Jessica Gray, a mother, two children, has been missing for over 110 days. Benton Township dropped the ball. It was like the Keystone Cops or something. They had no skills. And then when you talk to them, it's like talking to the wall. They had no intention of going out investigating the death. I'm going to say it today, and please forgive me, the Gray family, because I think it's time that we take this thing to a different level and talk about what's really going on. I believe she is deceased at this time. I think she's no longer with us, and I know that Miss Gray, you don't want to hear that, and I don't even want to say it, but we got to let the audience know what we think so they can help us. You know, they can't help us unless they have all the information. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to get that information out there so they know exactly what's going on. One of the things that came to light, they did find Jessica Gray DNA in front of the house, inside the house, and in an automobile that took Willie Lark Jr. to Columbus, Ohio. That is correct. They did find blood outside the house, a puddle of blood. Inside the house, they found blood. And they also found blood inside the automobile that transported Willie Lark Jr. to Columbus, Ohio. They have not arrested him for that. Right now, according to them, he's not talking. He's not talking. That's all right. Still charging. They have not located the body. And in their eyesight, once a guy be in prison, they have that prison mentality. They believe you don't find the body, you can't charge me with murder. That's the attitude of a person that's been in prison, especially for a long time. And my belief is that we have to get out here and force the Keystone Cops in Benton Township. They're the Keystone Cops. Only thing that they're good at is harassing black people and also giving tickets. They're good at those things. Just the other day, there was a shootout or something. A dog got killed. They put out an all-point bulletin on the guy who shot the dog. But yet, they don't want to talk about Jessica Gray. They do not want to talk about it. They don't want the mama talking about her. They don't want nobody talking about Jessica Gray. And that's a subject that needs to be talked about. We need to talk more about this. It's all about Jessica Gray. I know it was my daughter. I would be very, very upset the way township police have handled this. And I'm paying taxes too. You're going to look for my daughter. They have not sent out the drones. They have not sent out the cadaver dogs. They have not did anything that would make me think that they was really interested in this case. I'm very, very disappointed in the way that Benton Township, don't get Benton Township confused with the city of Benton Harbor Police Department. Because right now I rank the city of Benton Harbor Police Department above township. And it's unfortunate that Jessica is a black girl. By her being black, they have refused to do anything, to go out of their way and go after this guy. There's so much they could do. There's so many people that I figure that they could give a lie detector test and force them to tell. That's what they normally do. It's obvious that Benton Township have never watched the first 48. And it's obvious that Willie Lark and all these other people have watched the first 48. You see, they're watching it because they know that there's not a reason in this world that we have not found Jessica Gray. Where is Jessica Gray? It's all about Jessica Gray, and we want to bring her home. We want to bring closure to the family, and there's so much stuff out there. There's people saying everything. I have put up a $500 reward for anybody who can help me bring closure to the family. Because we know that the Keystone Cops, which is the Benton Township Police Department, have no intention of bringing closure to Jessica Gray's family. And this is all about Jessica Gray. You know, these may have been the final moments of her life, you know. And then there's so many people who claim to be her friend, who actually, you know, if you claim to be a friend and you lying about what happened and where she is or won't bring closure, then you're not her friend. You're the type of friend I don't want. I don't want a friend like you. Matter of fact, I don't even want to see you. You don't deserve to be called a friend. And I hope the family is not calling you Jessica Gray Friend. It's unfortunate. But let's bring her home. And I want all my listeners to look up Jessica Gray. And if you can find someone who knows something that had happened to her, please do not hesitate to call me. You can call me at 269-369-8257. Where is Jessica Gray? It's all about Jessica Gray. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend from Muskegon, a young lady who's been really, really a big help to us. And I really, really appreciate her. And because a lot of times, when it's not your family, a lot of people just don't care. We are some selfish people. People don't care about other people. You know, it's Jessica today, but could easily be me or you tomorrow. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Belinda. Are you there? Talk to me, Belinda.
Hi, Reverend Pickney. This is Belinda Carter, and I'm a former resident of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I was, unfortunately, the person that got the news on December the 2nd about a possible shooting out on Crystal Avenue. And it went into people telling me that it was Jessica Gray. And unfortunately, I was also the person who had to call her mother on December 2nd and ask her, have she seen her daughter? And as a lot of people that's listening, that may be mothers, fathers, sisters, cousins, whatever, anybody hates to get a call, because I'm a mother of three sons, and I know anything after a certain hour, I would hate to answer the phone. So I know that a lot of people know how that feels. But unfortunately, again, I had to make a call to her mother to ask her mother, had she seen her? And I had to inform her mother that the things that were being told to me, as Jessica was possibly shot on Crystal Avenue and door wide open. And again, this is a thing that we all think that police is supposed to protect and serve. And unfortunately, Denton Township Police Department did not treat this as a crime scene. They went out for a welfare check, and that's what they left it at, because this lady is 3 days shy of being missing 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a horrible feeling to know, you know, we haven't seen her, we haven't heard from her, and I know her personally. I've been friends of the family. Me and her mother went to school, second grade. We talking about over 40 years or so ago. And right now her mother is in dire need of someone, anyone that can step up that knows what happened to Jessica Gray. Because we went from a missing person to possibly shot, and now she's nowhere around, you know? And I know her as a mother. She has a mother. She's a mother of two kids, and she never missed a Wednesday from seeing her children. And I want people to understand, as Reverend Pickney say, it could be someone in your family. It could be you, you know? And people having a heart need to understand that the unknown is the worst feeling in the world, to not know something. And it is right to bring closure to the family. One day her kids will be big enough to know. And they gonna want some closure. It's been a real trying time, you know, because we have several people in the community that has been, you know, pinpointed. They have been saying that they've been anywhere at this residence. And I just feel like, you know, can't nobody have a heart as black like that to go on 5 months of knowing something. I mean, it has to be eating some people up inside. And if it's not, it's almost like you're considered an animal, you know? And I really would like the community to really, like, you know, find it in their heart to come forth. I mean, it's really not about the money. It's, you know, it is a reward, but it's not about the money. It's about, you know, bringing some closure, bringing the love, showing that you have compassion and care for somebody that's in need. This family is in need of knowing what happened to Jessica Gray. So, you know, it sometimes it really just bothers me, you know.
Wow. Let me ask you this. When you first got that call, were, you know, what was your immediate thoughts? What was your feelings? Someone calling you, telling you that your friend, your classmate daughter may have been shot. And when they told me, they said shot 4 times, I said, amazing. I said, well, you know, it was at so-and-so house. If it's at Willie Jr. Locke house, how come they didn't, you know, he don't want to talk? He don't have to talk. Put them handcuffs on them. You put handcuffs on me for a recall petition. And
exactly.
Here, this guy is a possibility. Yep. But tell me, how did, you know, I know it must have been really wild. I can't even imagine feeling that call. Like you was talking about your three boys, you know, at a certain time you get a call, and, you know, when the phone rings, you're always nervous, you know, that something that happened to one of your children. And, I can't imagine getting a call like that saying that something had happened, you know. But I know by you being a close member of the family, I know this. Tell us, yeah, walk me through that.
I mean, I got a call, I want to say, wow, it was maybe like 6 o'clock in the morning on December the 2nd, and it was a call which it was a family member that called me. And so I wasn't hesitating to answer the phone. You know, I went on and answered it. And when she said that it was a shooting on 308 South Crystal, and I was like, okay, you know. And she said, but they say that it's your friend, Jessica. And I was like, Jessica who? You know, I'm like, Jessica who? And she said, you know, the little short girl with the blonde hair. And my heart dropped. And I was like, you're not talking about Jessica Gray. And I proceeded to tell my cousin. I was like, we went to school with her mom. And, you know, I was like, no, don't tell me that. And I mean, it was just like, it was devastating. It was really devastating, and I proceeded to get off that call and started calling everybody in Benton Harbor. And like I said, I'm a former resident. I don't live there anymore, but I tag-teamed everybody that I could possibly think of. And I searched around because, you know, as we do, we lose contact with people. But if I ever was to see Jessica Mama, it's just like yesterday. We, you know, we're going to hug and how you doing. And that was the worst call that I feel like I had to make to somebody's mother, you know. So she was just like, you know, no. And I was like, please tell me that you can go some places and look for her. And she proceeded to do so. And then I got a call back from her. And she said, Belinda, everything that you said to me, everywhere I went looking for her, they said the same thing. And she proceeded to go to the police station. And from that point, when she went into that police station, it was never December the 2nd was only a welfare check. It has never been a true investigation into the disappearance of Jessica Gray. And possibly shot. You know, they try to smooth it out, is I would say. But as a mother, that cannot be smoothed out. And I do want to iterate that her mother has been doing what she could do. Because,
right,
as I said, we look for the police to protect and serve. And, you know, that's their job, you know. And sometimes I feel like 97% of the time, most cases are solved by the community, with the community's help. Sometimes it's not that the police involved it. They done went and talked to Tom, Dick, and Harry. And they done solved the case that way. But I never felt this in Jessica's disappearance. And, you know, and at this point in time, it's been 5 months. And that family needs closure at this point. And like I said, it was a devastating call.
Wow. You know, when I think about that, and then also by me talking to Benton Township Police about this matter, I'm very disturbed the way they handled this more than anything else. Anytime that someone been shot, it's top priority. You know, we want you got the blood, and they know somebody had to be shot because there's too much blood out there just to be somebody cut their finger or even a stab wound. It had been too much blood for even a stab wound, that somebody had their neck or cut completely off, or their hand cut completely off. And when you talk to them, you get the impression, I sure wish they hang up, or I sure wish that I could get them out of the way. I sure wish I had not answered the phone. This is the impression you get when you call them, and then when you give them information, they might go talk. Now they do, and just in the last 10 days, they actually start actually talking to people. And then here's the kicker part. When they talk to them, they just ask them, and whatever they say is fine. I don't talk to you. Not no pressure. You know, like I said, they have not watched First 48. If they watched First 48, they would know better. They would know how to go out there and handle this. But it looked like the people they talked to have watched First 48 because they know that they're not going to tell them nothing that they don't need, you know, that that can help them. And this is the way I feel about the investigation. It reminds me of the Keystone Cops, how they bungled everything. And I hate to say this, and I know that people are listening. They bungled this job. They really, it's a strong possibility that, you know, that we may not never get closure. And I don't want to say it, and I'm saying that loosely now, because it's you know, dealing with the Benton Township Police Department, you know, to me is a big joke. I think who they got running this thing, the lead detective, he's the husband of one of the former prosecutors over there, and now she's a judge, and they had always been known for racism, both of them, you know, and not just one of them, both of them have. And yet still, when I think about this case, all I want is closure for the family, you know. And if I can get closure for this family, then, you know, you don't have to worry about me, whether Locke go to prison or whether anybody go to prison. That's a whole different story, you know. I'm my level of concentration is on Jessica Gray and Miss Gray and the Gray family. That's what I care about, Belinda. That's what I care about, and I want to make sure that, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power. So I can't say that I didn't do enough. That's how I feel. If I, you know, when we talk, I want, you know, anytime you and I talk, I know that we're on to something. And I feel like we're getting close, even without the help of the police. I feel like we're getting real close to really getting the answers we need. And Belinda, my goal is to make sure that the family get closure. That's it. I'm putting up a $500 reward for anyone who can provide us and lead us to Jessica Gray. Listen, you got a couple of minutes. Whatever your heart desires, you can say it on this show, because it's called the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. You can say whatever you want. And then I got to bring in my next guest. But I got to make sure that you understand that we're, you know, I'm here for you, Belinda, and I appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you have already done. You know, a lot of times people don't want to do nothing because they say, oh, it's not my family, you know. And that's why we're in this compromising position today, because people do not understand that it could be her today and you tomorrow. See, we think things will never happen. Oh, that would never happen to me. That would never happen to me. That would never happen to nobody in my family. That would never happen to one of my children. But it's time. But listen, go ahead. You got a couple of minutes to say what you want. Then I got to move on. But thank you so much for being on the show, girl.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel honored, you know. And it's just that, like I said, you know, I was on the first thing on December the 3rd to Benton Harbor, and I stayed for a week. I did a couple of interviews with News 22, and we tried to get her out there, you know, and it was just like searches, and it wasn't the community. I didn't see like the unity. I could remember years like 22 years ago when it was a young little girl went missing. And I mean, the churches, I was at Pilgrim Rest Church and we went looking for Shamika Green, Shamika Hicks. And the unity that was there, it was real. And I just felt like there was no unity with the community, with the city of Benton Harbor. You know, it didn't have to be your child. It didn't have to be anybody that you knew. It was not there. I may have seen 10 people out searching, you know, and that's including the family. And they went, you know, to the places that they knew, you know, but we're dealing with a sick mind, get person, you know, you just don't know what they done, you know. But my thing is, if you can do anything, it is to come with unity. Just, you know, and if you see Miss Gray, you know, it would be so nice that to let somebody know that you're thinking about her. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, we had to come to this point, and it's just sad that we had to come to this point. And I'm just really upset with the justice system because it's not fair. It's not fair, and it serves certain people. You know, if you're over this track or over that track, you know, you don't get the same result, you know. Now, had it been somebody in St. Joe, ain't no telling what they would have done. But it's a lady that may not live like everybody else has lived. And y'all treated her very inhuman. And right now, her family needs that justice. And, I mean, I'm going to continue to do what I need to do because I'm seeing Jessica. And I would like for everybody to show some support in whatever you can possibly do, whatever you might know, you know, because at this point, ain't nobody harm you, you know, because the person that we believe to have done this is sitting in the jail on unrelated charges. But that person needs to be held accountable too, and we need to just bring her home. And I'd like to thank you, Reverend Pickney.
And Belinda, I'd like to thank you also. I dare you, you have pierced my heart. And I am Team Jessica Gray also with you, along with you, Carmella. We're working this, and we're going to make it happen one way or the other. Sooner or later, we're just going to do. But I want all my listeners to know right now we have a $500 reward for anybody who could lead us to Jessica Gray. We want closure for the family, and we're going to do whatever we can to make sure she has it. Right now, we're scrambling. We're not investigators, but we know that there's people out there who know what happened. And here's the bad part. The Benton Township Police Department have talked to these people who have some kind of way smooth things over with them to make them think that they're not part of. They're part of it. At least two people that I know of that they have spoken with was there when this happened. And it's unfortunate that we have to go through this in order to get them to do something when they should be on top of it anyway. And like I said, Benton Township, if I can find a way not to pay them any more taxes, because I definitely don't want to pay them taxes for the police department, I would do so. But it's all about Jessica Gray for me. We got to find closure for the family, and we're going to do whatever we can. And listen, I want you to hang on a little while longer. I got to bring in my next guest. And he have a pretty interesting story himself, what he's going through. And I can also understand where he's coming from, because I remember when I was in prison and what they was telling me, stories about the police department up in Detroit that nobody could believe, but I believed them. Like I told the guy, I believe all this stuff was happening. And then we got a chance to be interviewed, and the guy that was interviewing us was telling them the same thing we were saying. He said, but this is so interesting how they would unsolved murder, what they would do is give it to a person. They would say that this person, even though he did not actually do the killing, they would have a witness to say that they saw him shoot this person. That's the police department up in Detroit. I think they call it the 11th floor detectors. And what they do, they've been doing the same thing for years and years and years. You got a lot of people sitting in prison who did not commit that crime. But unfortunately, the public never gets to know that. But on that note, let me bring in my good friend Lee. Lee, are you there? Talk to me. Lee, are you there?
Yes.
Oh,
how you doing? How you doing?
Man, you scared me half to death. I thought they had got you or something.
Nah.
Now, look, you know I'm an older guy now. You can't be scaring me like that. You know, I can have you on the line and boom, they got you. You know, we can't have that. You know, we're at war. See, people don't understand this. We're at war. This is a war. This is no conflict. And people need to understand this because it is crucial, you know. And I got a call on yesterday about the virus inside Lakeland prison.
Mm.
And they said right now is up to 4 people who actually have the virus. And
unbelievable.
I said this to myself. Well, it's obvious, you know, if they got it, somebody had to bring it in, unless somebody flew it in, or unless it's in the air, you see.
That
so,
is very true.
Yeah, and that to me was very interesting because how do you get, you know, you all locked down, you're all in the same environment. How do you get this virus if you've never been outside that gate? They can't have no visitors.
Yeah.
No visitors. nothing come in. It either the guards have to do it, either the guards, well, it has to be the guards. So it can't be nobody else. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up to kind of like break the ice, because I know you got something good to tell us. I know I know they're getting ready since they've closed the courts down, they don't want to tackle you. But listen, tell us a little bit about your case. I want to talk a little bit about your case. Tell me a little bit about your case. So, because I did get in the chat room, people want to know, they kind of like confused a little bit about whether you had drugs or you didn't have drugs. And they also
found anything on me. They never found anything in my son, in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that they found was in my son's mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came, they said, with a house that they raided her house, they raided my house. I said, okay, so what did you find in my house? They said, well, we didn't find nothing. They said, but we found a stringer in there. I said, a stringer? I said, a stringer? Okay, everybody, I'm sure if you go in everybody's house in the United States of America, if they cook some pasta, they got a stringer in there.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things they kept asking, like, well, who did you get into it with? And I'm lost. I was completely lost. Like, so is this, what is y'all really here for? Is y'all here for some drugs? Y'all said that it was controlled by somebody supposedly I sold some drugs to from my house, according to them. But once I got the discovery and got the lining up the dates, kind of find out I wasn't even there.
Mm-hmm,
I had to go get the receipts from the place. And one of the things that they're charging me with is my son mother's gun. She's a CPL holder. She has a receipt and everything for the gun. She admitted that it's her gun. And out of all of this, they say, well, we're going to charge him with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, my ID, license, all my vehicles, everything, nothing is registered to her house. Everything was registered to my house.
Right.
But because I go and pick the morning that they came, so they clearly had to have been following me or something, I go in there to pick my son up. I say, okay, I'm going to give her a break this morning. I go to get them. I'm going to go ahead and take y'all to school. Well, as soon as I go, open the door, I'm waking up the other one, get up. Let's go ahead and, get ready so I can take y'all to school so she can stay asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourselves in order. All of a sudden, the dough kicked in. So in the process of them coming in, they realized, I don't even know how the heck I didn't even see these people, because when I came out of the house, I'm looking around like, where the heck did all of y'all come from? Because they hit the ambulance there, all of this. They come out, they was expecting a shootout with me and all of this.
So
and they
you wasn't
kept
in the house
like,
when
yeah,
you were doing it. You was outside the house?
No, I literally walked in. Once I walked in, I wasn't even in the house 30 minutes to an hour.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get my son and them together so they can get ready. I could take them to school. And this is when they actually came in and raided.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I do know, because I can tell from the questions that they was asking me, it's like, well, we found 300 grams of powder. We found this. I'm like, 300 grams of powder? Where did you find that at?
Yeah.
They was like, well, we found it in the house. You was trying to hide it when you was trying to run out the door. I'm like, man, you guys got to be crazy, man. Now y'all just making up stuff. Well, I didn't realize until after I got a hold of the actual discovery and got the Michigan State Police forensic report, everything that they went before the federal grand jury, that was all of these drugs and 300 grams here and 178 grams there. All of this stuff said no controlled substance detected.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, what they took was not even drugs.
No, it was safer. It's a stuff called Safer. You can go to Home Depot and buy. You put it around your house. You to keep like ants and bugs and stuff like that from coming in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Now she had it, and because that's how I ever got hip to it, because she had it, you know, and.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, you know, but I guess they went to the extreme to go in her basement because she told them where her guns was at. They didn't have to tear her house up to look for the gun. She told them where they was at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when they decided to say, you know what, we're going to put all of this on him. How are you going to do that when it's not my gun? I didn't even know where she was hiding half of her stuff at, you know. I didn't even live there. But according to them, they said, well, he lived on, they lived together off and on for the past 6 years. I said, well, how is that possible when she just came from Las Vegas? If y'all check the receipt on the gun, as soon as she came from back from Las Vegas and moved back to Detroit, it's when she went and bought her a gun.
Mm.
I said, come on now. I mean, you don't take a rocket scientist to figure any of this out. And you look at my ID, you look at, it's even in the discovery everywhere. Everything of mine from my ID, my vehicles and all that, they said they checked it. Everything said Corbin, which is in Southwest Detroit.
Uh-huh.
But this whole little orchestrated plan that was put together was by these other guys who, I was telling a lot of people, listen, don't deal with that guy. They on some nonsense. They robbing people, man. I don't know how they keep getting away with it, but they just robbing people. They robbing their own friends, you know, and they killing people. I'm like, listen, don't get involved with them. Well, some of the guys, people in the neighborhood, listened to me. Some felt like, ah, man, Lee, they can't be doing all of that. So what they decided to do is go back and mention it to the guys.
Mm.
Now, some of these same people now all of a sudden is trying to reach back out to me. I was like, I ain't no need of me talking to you no more.
Yeah.
Because thanks to you going back and telling them what I knew and me trying to tell you to stay away from them, now you realize the truth. I don't even want to deal with you no more.
Wow.
Because they didn't even realize everything that I knew they was doing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
so now they built a.
Listen to this. Lee.
Uh-huh.
Lee, listen to this.
Yes.
The guy that they found in the backyard in Oak Park, Michigan, the guy that was
Ken
going around here. Yeah. What's his name again?
Kenyell Brown, but we everybody knew him in the neighborhood as KB.
KB. He had 6 murders under his belt.
He really got more than that, but they just bringing up 6.
That's all they could come up with is the 6 murders. And he was sanctioned by law enforcement. That's how he kept getting away with this stuff.
Thing is this. The 6 murders is just what people came up with, but he was with these other, the same guys, because, see, they could never get close enough to me to try to do something to me. So what's the next best way to do it? We'll send him with the police, and hopefully the police will kill him.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time, you know, it took me a minute to start putting it together. I'm like, nah, this ain't making any sense. I will see the police, the same police officers follow me. I didn't know their names at first, but ever since I started going through the case and some of their family members and others started telling who they actually are. And then the informants, the same guy who was running this little group, which I just come to find out, they had a little group name called No Love. I done heard that from like several people. He's like, yeah, you don't remember they started a little group called No. I say, I didn't know nothing about that. I just knew what they was doing, how they was robbing and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they was even robbing. What they'll do is they'll take like certain drug dealers, they'll rob them. And if they don't kill them before they can figure it out, what's really going on, the police came and got them. So they was letting them do what they was doing. It wasn't no secret. And
right.
if the police try to sit back and say, oh, we didn't know they was doing all of this, man, y'all a damn lie. How is it that everybody in Southwest Detroit knows this and y'all don't? And we ain't just talking about, like, the River Ridge, E-Course, and Fort and Schaefer area and the area of the hood. We talking about Mexican Town. They knew about it. It's people all, I mean, every section of Southwest Detroit, even the people out of the Delray area of Southwest, everybody knew what y'all, they was doing. Now, how the police don't know, I have no clue. But, of course, they was letting them get away with it.
Well, actually, they was working with the police.
Well, of course, they was working with the police. But the thing right now with my case is they don't like the fact that everything that's been coming out in the news surrounding my case, as far as fake control by the police lying and saying they buying drugs from people when they really never bought drugs from people, and they put a lot of them under investigation for that. One cop, I think, got 30 or 40 years for giving out information to drug dealers' rivals. All of this stuff, they was doing this with this guy. Even on some of the recordings that I sent you, you heard the guy admitting it on the phone.
Absolutely.
Like, some people try to provide information on us, and the police done beat him. Another time he was talking about how, this guy's an informant, that guy's an informant. I'm like, man, you really know a lot about who informants and who not. For you not to be one.
Yeah.
So everything as far as informants killing people, fake control buys, police giving out information on rivals, all of these things that the police department and everything in Detroit is being investigated for, all of that's all within my case. And that's why they don't want me to go to trial.
Interesting.
So all of that's going to come out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like with the boy getting killed in front of the school. Come to find out, he was on federal probation. And I only known that by talking to some of his friends. They was like, yeah, you ain't know he was on federal. I said, I ain't know nothing about that. I ain't know. So he was being supervised by the federal government, and some other informants killed him. Then they killed the guy that killed him. And it was just, it was just a chain of murders that just kept happening after that.
Looked like they was just to be killing them.
Well, you know, a lot of these guys' murders, they go back to the 90s from when it was in gang banging and everything. And again, like some of the other murders, they can't say, well, no, nah, these murders never happened. Well, why not when they've been arrested before for them? If a person's already been arrested for them, they was just never convicted for it. How you gonna say they never happened? And see, that's where the other guys, even his own mama and daddy,
yeah,
was like, I don't like what he's doing. I'm willing to tell the truth now.
Absolutely.
That's why.
Well, you know,
like I told them, I say, you know what? It really doesn't matter what y'all trying to charge me with. I'm going to take it to trial because none of the people y'all got is credible or reliable to sit there and say anything that I did. So by them asking me, who did I get into it with? So as I'm starting to put everything together now, these guys been out here doing stuff and saying that I done been doing it. But the entire neighborhood, I'm sure they asked people, they was like, nah, he never did that. We know who did it, and it wasn't him. So these are the same guys, the same thing like on that 1300 Bobian homicide unit thing. They go out here, we're going to kill a couple of guys, and we're going to say, this person did it or that person did it.
That's right.
So everything, that's one of the things that they're prolonging. Because I asked for a speedy trial.
Yeah.
And we done already done lapsed that. You know, this case happened in 2018, June 8th. 2018 is when everything happened. We're in 2020 now. And I asked for a speedy trial, and of course, that lapsed.
Well, they want you to take a plea bargain. They want you to play.
I'm not taking a plea bargain. That's
so they don't have to go to trial. That's that's most time most black folks they get scared, they get intimidated by these guys. These guys come in with their lies, and the first thing they do, they go in there and plead guilty, knowing that they're not guilty, but they plead guilty anyway. So when you plead guilty and say you're guilty, then you're guilty. There's no other way.
And then you exalt all your appealing rights.
Yep.
One thing I learned a long time ago, and like I said, I only knew the case because I'm like, okay, I got it. Now he's telling on them, and it's like, I'm going to be honest, because I was police. It was like the Wayne County Sheriff's kept harassing me. The Wayne County Sheriff, the Detroit Police Department, and the Michigan State Police and all. I'm like, how am I being indicted, get released? If the courts release me, why? And it's already documented because my attorney brought it up in court. I say, how does these people keep harassing me, following me to my job? And it ain't even the federal government. It's the Wayne County Sheriff and Detroit Police Department. What is they doing?
Yeah.
The federal government supposed to be handling my case.
And remember, this is just a drug deal. This is just drugs. You see?
The crazy thing about this is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the fact that the government released me, and they know I'm finna fight the case. And now all these informants, they don't even get along with each other no more.
Mm.
So a lot of them that went before the federal grand jury, they know the story ain't gonna even match up, because half of them don't even like each other anymore. They know the police lied. So I recently told my attorney, he said, well, they might not even try to bring everybody back. I said, why not? Everybody that's involved in the investigation need to come back. He said, well, they might just try to bring the police back. I said, well, do you know what I want you to do? Subpoena the entire witness list for the prosecution that was on a federal grand jury. Subpoena every single one. We ain't got to know who was all there. Just tell them you want to subpoena every single one. Because if you can go before a federal grand jury and make a statement, then come back to court and make that same statement.
Absolutely.
Because I got a gang of evidence to show otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
How can y'all say that I was doing this during a time in this particular vehicle when it was in the shop?
There you go.
If these people in the shop people was like, no, we had your truck for like 2.5 weeks.
My brother Lee.
I said, well, according
Lee,
to
brother
them.
Lee. Brother Lee.
Yes.
Listen, you got about a minute and a half. I got to bring in my good friend Amy for the last 5 minutes. And tell us what you want us to know and how we can help you. Because I think that right at this stage of the game, this is where you need help right now more than anything else. Because I think that, you know, long as we don't talk about it, they'll get away with this. Let's tell us what you need real fast, and I got to bring in Amy, my good friend from California.
Well, more than anything, complete awareness of the case and everything that's going on, especially public awareness of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And more than anything, because I know these local authorities, they don't want to try with me. You know, they don't want none of this to come out, but it has to come out. Me going to trial is the only way it's going to come out.
Mm.
So the awareness of it is the most important part.
Absolutely. And I think you're right on point with that. And I see this as an opportunity. And also to once again, to expose law enforcement. Their job is to serve and protect. And they're out here working with people, committing crimes, even murder. And nobody said a mumbling word. What a world we live in. But look, my brother, I got to let you go. We will talk again next week, because I love having you on and giving me an update. Let's stay focused and let's do what we need to do. And on that note, I got to bring in my good friend Amy from beautiful, beautiful California. Amy, are you there? Talk to me. You got a few minutes to talk. My other friend, she was unable to come on. She wasn't ready. But we'll get her on soon because she has also a very interesting story about her sister. Are you there, Amy?
From the court and confirmed that her mother did it there. And her sister.
Amy, you're kind of like going in and out. Okay, well, let's move on, and I want to finish talking about Jessica a little bit more. And it is all about Jessica Gray at this time. I know that, you know, most people here have daughters, and I know that you don't want anything to happen to your daughter. And, you know, something like this is happening in our community, and people are scared to speak up. People are doing things that they normally don't do until something happened to their family. Then they are ready to fight until the end. But I'm here to tell you that we are going to get justice. We are in a war right now. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. This is what we do here. You know, and when I talk about my TI family, target individual family, they like to use another term, but that's the term I know. And I know that, if you want to use another term, I will. These are people who are targeted by the government. These are people who are used microwave, mind control, and every other thing you could think of. They use it on the people to keep you not doing what you're supposed to do, and also to find out what you will do and what you won't do. I know the story how people was in Cuba and they was using this electronics on them. And here's another thing. People talk about 5G. 5G is a terrible thing to be in anybody's community. It is a mind-controlled device. It will keep you under control. I see now it's even killing birds. It's killing people. It's killing. It's giving you cancer. All these different things that you know nothing about. But they're trying to make everything as fast as possible without giving people the knowledge of it. 5G is dangerous. They're talking about now for your cell phone, get a 5G cell phone. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for you. It's dangerous for your children. It's dangerous for your family. It's dangerous. It is a weapon that will be used against you. And they're able, now listen to this, they're able, even with the 4G, which is bad, but it's not as bad as 5G. When 5G actually come out and they put up these towers, there will be more people with cancer than ever before. Even this virus that they got, you know, we know it's man-made, but the problem is us. When we start standing together and fighting back, we win. We win. When we start standing together and fighting back, we win. And those of you who are out there, you know, be aware that virus can kill you. It's man-made. There's no vaccine for it right now. So stay away from people who might have that virus, because they said that the country is overpopulated. The world is overpopulated. Too many people on this earth. That's what they claim. The rich folks, the folks with money. But look, my last words is about Jessica Gray. I do care. And anybody have any information that could help us locate Jessica Gray? Right now, there's a $500 reward. Those of you out there who want to contribute to that award, you can go to bhbanko.org. We have a PayPal there. You can go to bhbanko.org. That's my website. If you want to contribute, send some money to my PayPal. You can go straight to the PayPal, Reverend Edward Pinckney, and you can send a few dollars. We'd like to get that up to about $2,000-$3,000. And I think that that would make people move a little bit faster. But I'm putting up $500 of my very own money. And those of you who want to help, you're welcome. And I promise you, if you donate any amount of money, it will be used for the reward and the reward only. That's a promise, not a say-so. You can count on me. But on that note, we have just ran out of time. Next week, same time, same station.